Well, good morning and welcome to another Radio Fishing. And January 9th, 2014. And I have today a lively and talented group with me. And we have Commander Captain Kale. Yes, he's here in the studio audience. He's here with me tonight. We've got Captain Larry and Larry Smith. Yes, and I got to tell you guys.
You hear that, Larry? They love us. Love us.
You know, just wave to him, Larry. Give him a little bit.
It's nice being popular.
Yes, just you got to give him a little bit every once in a while. Okay, everybody, settle down. Settle down. There we go. All right, shut up. All right. I love our studio audiences. Nice people out there. You know. The little stone-faced.
And pale.
Somehow, you know. Yes. Almost like they're made out of concrete, you know? Anyway, it's a lovely day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day in the... Oh, wait a minute, I can get sued. I'm going to pay for that, don't I? You know. Yeah, isn't it amazing? We were told 80 degrees today. Now, if the sun comes out this afternoon, we'll definitely hit 80.
The sun comes out, 70-80% chance of rain, which is 70-80% chance of not seeing that sun.
Yeah, I know. It's just... I'm ready for some sunshine. It's been a few days.
Yeah, we need to get this all dried out and get this wind to lay down a little bit so we can get offshore.
Starting to get cabin fever.
Yeah, definitely cabin fever. Or actually,
and it's not Cuddy cabin fever, which landlocked. Is a good thing. But
Cuddy cabin fever?
Yeah. well, that means you're at least on a boat.
Yeah, well, there's usually alcohol involved in that. But, alcohol can bring on the Cuddy cabin fever.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, Kale, you and I did the... fishing club last night.
Did the fishing club last night. Talked about Sheephead.
We had a packed house.
Real good show.
We were slammed. One poor woman, actually, she ended up sitting right there, the worst seat in the house, and she was actually really nice about it.
Yeah.
But the door has to swing both ways, but her husband wouldn't sit anywhere else. So this poor woman had to sit there. Every time the waitress came in, because, you know, people are ordering food and drink, and, I mean, last night I think was half-price spaghetti, so, I mean, big spaghetti. Dinner's coming through the door and all this, you know, and this all goes on while we're talking, and it's a nice dance between us and the waitresses. We've been doing it 3 years, and they come in, and, you know, you don't really notice all the stuff, and people are enjoying their meals and doing it, but this poor woman, bump.
Yeah, into bump. The back of her chair.
Bump. It was like, oh, I
want to. You know when you have that 9-year-old in the theater behind you kicking your chair
the one on the airplane.
And you want to just throttle the little child.
Yes.
That's what she had to go through the whole night. She was a trooper. She stuck it out.
Yeah, she was really nice. And, you know, she had one of those kind of stubborn husband guys, you know, this is where we're going to sit, okay?
Yeah.
Poor woman.
One of those guys that has to face north when he eats or something like that.
Yeah, okay, he's stuck in his ways.
Yeah, definitely stuck in his ways.
Well, he's stuck in his ways. You guys were talking about Sheephead, so how's everybody doing with them? Are they pulling them out from underneath the docks?
They're doing very, very well out towards the Placida area. They're still kind of slow up at this end. The reef hasn't really packed up. The bridges haven't packed up. The canals are doing decent.
I don't think they're going to this year. I've been calling that all year. Ever since the beginning of the season, I started seeing twos and fours. People saying, oh, man, I saw, you know, like two big sheephead go by or four big sheephead. I mean, they're talking 50s, 20s, 10s, but twos and fours, that means big fish season, but not lots of fish on the sheephead.
Right.
And we were talking with Morris Campbell just a few minutes ago about using worms and night crawlers on sheephead, which is something my dad did and several other people did. But, you know, and that actually brings up a point. I think we touched on it briefly the last night. We had so much stuff we never got to last night.
Yeah,
there was
never touched the Florida snow shovel.
Yeah, we didn't, you know, we were going to talk about getting sand fleas for bait and, you know, oysters and barnacles. And there was so much stuff to go through. Who would have thought? I mean, because we started about 6:30, and by 6:45, we were full on into the talk. And
you wouldn't think that there's that much to talk about sheephead. I mean, it's relatively simple fishing.
I thought at 7:30 we were going to be done, and we were 10 minutes to 8. We were actually 6 to 10 minutes after 8. We usually never run long, and it was an extra few minutes.
It goes to show you just how important bait presentation is to some of these fish, because that's really what we talked about the entire time was different ways to rig up for sheephead, whether you're fishing from a boat, you're fishing fast-moving water, if you're fishing straight down from a bridge, or if you're fishing a bridge from a boat. So many different ways to rig that bait up to present it properly.
One thing I thought was interesting, though, you said you were sitting in the pass and sat there for an hour and a half and watched sheephead pour in.
Just pour in. But that was back when we were doing that that fishing show for that new lure. That was way back in, that was what, October?
Yeah, in October.
That's when they were,
so what happened
when they were pouring in.
You were sitting there in the...
Yeah, we just happened to be fishing out at Placida. We were going around an island and deep water, and right there on that drop-off, we just sat there for half an hour watching a freight train of sheephead go by.
Nice. Was there a cold snap prior to or after?
Cause no.
A couple of guys I fish with are like, you know, you got to have a really strong cold snap for these fish to get in and farther up into these areas where we want them to be.
Well, we've got our cold snap now. It really didn't drop the water temperature as much as I thought it would. So
I was hoping for 60, and I don't think we quite made it.
We were close. I was hoping it would drop below 60. I really was hoping it would. I didn't think it would, but the prayer was there.
Okay, and all right. Now you expand upon that. Why were you looking for that below 50?
I wanted to shove those fish right in the canals. I wanted to shove them right up the river.
Also brings in a lot of other fish closer to the beach.
Yeah, it definitely helps you with your offshore kingfishing and stuff like that. But I can go hide in the canals and the rivers out of the wind and fish and not have to cancel charters.
No,
because
you guys are
kind of
on the opposite end of the charter spectrum here. Kale, you like fishing the Upper Harbor, the East Side, the Myakka, the Cutoff, the Peace River. You know, you could do the West Wall thing, a little bit of Turtle and Bull Bay.
Yeah.
But you really, you know, do the inside. And Larry, you're kind of an offshore freak. You really like that offshore stuff.
I like the green water, the gray water, the blue water. You know, I can fish the brackish water when the winds get too high or gets too cold, but I really like the blue water.
And you got a nice boat. I've actually been out fishing with Larry and his wife. Terry and I went out with Larry and his wife and had a great day on the water. And you got a nice boat for fishing out there.
Yeah, she's got some high walls on her, so it keeps you sort of dry. And we went through Bayview Canvas, a couple of local guys here, and we adopted something they brought from the lakes. It's a Dodger top. So I can actually drop down and make an entire cabin out of my center console when it gets too stupid out there.
when you shouldn't be out there unless you're a pro sports player, you know. Yeah,
exactly. Unless you're an NFL pro, you shouldn't be out there.
Yeah.
I've been out with Larry's boat and I don't like
good morning it. Barb morning.
I've been out on Larry's boat and I don't like Larry's boat because I can't reach over the gunwales and rinse my hands off.
He's got serious T-Rex
arms.
Can't wash his arms off. So we leave the live well open for him.
Yeah. I was on a brand
new... It's like, you just take the dog, leave the lid up, he's been fine.
Yeah. It's just out not too long ago on a brand new Boston Whaler. Grady White. Never seen a boat so well rigged for fishing in my life. Except for live well. The live well was 4 feet deep.
Oh, yeah, you can't get to the bottom.
And they don't give you a stand tube. They give you a little rubber stopper. So now when you go fishing, you have to have a 10-year-old to grab by the ankles and hang down in there
get me
to
that
plug
right
your live well off.
10-year-old with a mask and a snorkel on.
Get that last piece of bait out of there for me, would you, Junior?
Well, the thing is, we're waiting for this weather to break, get me offshore. I'm looking at tomorrow, making a trip out, so hopefully I'll get a report back to you guys.
You do have a report. That new pen conflict is out. New improved version. Step up above the battle. And we can kind of hit two birds with one stone here on this report.
Heck are you going with this?
Oh, he's got a good casting report, and at the same time it goes hand in hand with the quality of that conflict and how well that reel is sealed.
I'll preempt it. I was fishing with a dear friend of mine, Bill Hoffman, in Flatline Charters. And he likes to set off of the docks when we're sheephead fishing. And the distance for me, I was...
He likes to set way off the docks.
Well, Billy is like 6 foot eight tall, and he's got arms. That
he can throw a 9 foot rod.
Well, when he puts his arm out, he's half the way there anyway. And so, give Billy an 8 foot rod, put it on one of his arms. He's got a 14 foot stick he can throw. You know,
he's already there. So I was fighting with it, you know, trying to find my spot on the boat, and we're trying to get under the dock and everything.
Yeah, because not only does he have long arms, it takes up a lot of room on the boat.
Yeah. So I was casting, and I was casting, and I just wasn't making it. And I looked at myself, and it's like, we always have, you know, prior military, you look at yourself and go, what am I doing wrong? So I said, maybe I'll just loosen my grip up a little bit. I got under the dock.
Rod, reel, line, everything. Well, you know, it makes it easier if you throw the whole rod at the fish. And that way, they can just hook themselves and crank it up.
Yeah, that's always a good tactic when you're casting so hard. Loosen your grip.
Loosen the grip. So I got it under the dock.
Wait a minute. We got to know. Navy, Air Force, Marine?
I'm prior Navy. I'm retired Navy.
Okay. Well, that explains it. We got a Marine and we got a squid. I don't know. Jarhead and squid. How do you guys actually stay in the same room?
Well, the reason we do is because in my job, which was driving amphibious tractors, they had us on special Navy ships.
Can you imagine him plowing turnips with this amphibious tractor? He's got underwater turnip patches.
Yep. We've got... they put us on special Navy ships because we drive these vehicles from ship to shore. And the whole amphibious side of the Navy is kind of like the bastard child of the Navy. And because of his job, which was driving a big hovercraft, they put them on the same boats, too.
Oh, so you guys were in the same second-class situation.
Yeah, it's called blue-green.
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 Blue for Navy, green for Marine Corps. Because they put us on these boats, and it's half Navy, half Marine Corps by the time you're done with it. And we all kind of managed to kind of get along.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that by the look on his face. So you guys were actually in... You did those big, huge... Your hovercraft, I mean, you could put like tanks on these hovercrafts run them in.
Yeah, we carry a 75-ton payload up to 40 knots.
They could put an M1 tank. They could put two of our vehicles on one of those with no problem.
So, is there...
It's a big hovercraft.
Yes.
And, you know, you got to do emergency response stuff like up in rivers and stuff like that, you know, mock setups of...
We trained all your life for one thing, and what we did, which was the evacuation of Beirut. We went into Lebanon, and we did the first evacuation since Vietnam.
Wow.
So it was a milestone for the Navy and for the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
Blue-green team, you know, definitely prevailed. And then one of the things that we did is we brought one of our old ships out of mothballs, old battleship. We set it off the coast, and war was over.
Yeah, just to scare them. probably wasn't a single round on it. Guns were probably still welded shut.
She was still active at that time.
I can tell you, if I was sitting there in a coastal country and I saw that World War II ship pull up, I don't care what else you're talking about. The thing throws a bullet that weighs 1,000 pounds.
Yeah, and it throws a lot of them.
It's just it's a rifle shell. It's like, you know, pointing a 357 at somebody who had with 1,000-pound round in it. I'm sorry, I don't care about the missiles in the submarine over there. I'm looking down the barrel of this thing.
And we get along pretty well because of our background. I mean, the Marine Corps is a department of the Navy anyways. I mean, it is the men's department, but it is a department of the Navy.
Well, there is that whole fishing thing, too. You know, you find a partner that you can fish with, that you can tolerate being on a boat with for more, you know, 6 to 8 hours at a time.
I tell people that all the time. The problem is people look for captain. They say, well, what kind of fish are you doing and all this? Most of, you know, I know all of our captains all have great days, all have good days, and all have some bad days. The thing is talk to the person well and see who you like to talk to. You're stuck on a boat with this guy for five hours or eight hours.
Which one will admit to having the bad day?
Well, any real charter boat captain does. Now, there's a lot of these imitation ones, but those are the ones you get screwed with.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, I shouldn't, I'm actually supposed to say, you don't have a pleasant monetarily experience with them. But anyway, back to the fishing. I'm going to call against your kingfish, Larry. I'm sorry. Water temp's too cold. Gulf temp, and you got surface temps in the low 60s or in the mid 60s. I'm going to say you're probably 4 degrees away from having a good kingfish day.
Well, that's a good thing because I'm bringing my backup rod, my jigging stick, and I'll probably head out to the 30-mile mark there and see how them amberjack are doing.
There you go. That's a workout.
I'm really looking, you know, before I'm really looking seriously, we look for stragglers on kingfish, and there's always going to be a few. The Gulf isn't varying that much in temperature between the Keys and the Panhandle very much anymore. When you look at it, there's just a... Yeah. Now, right now, you're getting a pretty good temperature variant between the Panhandle and the Keys because of the ice storms they had up there. It was freezing, so you got that few degree lower drop. But in 2 months, it starts to balance out. And by midsummer, there's no difference between our water temperature and the Panhandle temperature. I mean, it just... It's the same all the way up. So the Kings just don't migrate the way they used to. It seems like wherever they are, when that temperature hits right, they're just going to hang out there as long as there's food. But I think we need about 4 more degrees to get a really good kingfish bite going.
I will definitely know tomorrow. I'll give you a call.
Okay, he's going to call me. I can tell this blue-green thing. I can see the glove smacking the floor. I can see the gauntlet is down. Okay, Frank, you don't think I can do this? Well, I'm going to show you. I can see the look in his eye. Both these military guys, you know.
Don't tell us we can't do something.
Right. I was too young for the one and too old for the rest of them. Definitely too old for anything now. Unless they come to Charlotte Harbor, I ain't getting involved. They come to Charlotte Harbor, I'll show them what an old man can do. But anyway, so amberjack.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to head out with a friend of mine and head out in the 30-mile mark. There's a couple wrecks that they definitely build up on. They also bring their partner with them, the Almaco, which is a better table fare.
Yeah.
So a couple of Almacos in the boat, me and him, and probably bring back a couple of AJs as well.
All right. So you've got it planned out. Now, we've got the game plan. So now you have come back and let us know what the reality was versus the plan.
Absolutely. You know, it can blow up in your face, or you can be a hero. Hero zero.
Yeah, well, I know all about those.
Fine line between the two.
Yeah, I start to show them one and end up in the other and then go back to the other. Yeah, it's just another radio fishing show.
Yeah.
You know, we actually, what I like best about our show is how closely we stay on topic. I mean, the nice part about it is when you turn on the show,
we went from Sheephead to Beirut, right in line. Dead ahead.
I mean, it all tied. It stays right there. Sheephead, the evacuation of Beirut, it's all the same thing.
Yep.
You know, when you're getting ready, it takes a plan. You got to have a plan, right? I'm going to tie it with something here, guys. I need a ribbon and a bow here for something.
We can get back to the conflict there. We pulled it out. We pulled it out of the water. I was talking about loosening my grip. I threw the entire rod and reel in, brand new rod, brand new reel. Pulled it out, shook it around a little bit, looked at it, fished the entire day with it. Took it home, threw it in the swimming pool, took it out, let it drip dry for a while. I opened the case on that Conflict 4000, and there wasn't a drop of water inside that thing. I fished with the entire day. There wasn't a salt penetration. There was nothing inside of it.
I got to tell you, Penn, now this is going back just, you know, 10 years or a little more than 10 years ago, was a joke. I mean, they just, basically if you wanted one, you went to a chain store because they'd become so mundane and so stuck in their ways. And they hadn't done anything in years. And the stuff they did do was wrong.
Right.
Well, a guy named Dick Henry bought him out. And when Dick Henry bought him out, he's one of the smartest people. He's one of my idols in the industry and a very good friend. And he turned him around, got him going really good, and then ended up in a situation his health is real bad. And he's getting older and his health's real bad. So he ended up selling Penn. And luckily, Mr. Coffee bought it. What a outfit Mr. Coffee is. I got to tell you. I am shocked at how they do their stuff. It's like, instead of most companies saying, okay, we're going to take this and, all right, what can we get, steal out of this company to sell off and make money? They buy a company and they say, what do you need? What do you need to be successful?
Yeah.
And they throw money into them. They help them with the research and development. And Penn has just, I mean, talk about catching that long ball. I mean, they're in the end zone year after year coming up.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you're saying, oh, well, the Battle has problems. I can guarantee the Battle reel has had at least four major problems. At least four.
But they've all been fixed.
That's the point.
That's the
Penn stands up and goes, we called them up and said, hey, I got six wheels.
How long did we have a problem with the roller bearings, the line roller bearings with the Daiwas?
Oh, my God. Don't even talk to me about Daiwa.
They wouldn't do anything with it.
No, there's nothing wrong with the reel. Right. Yes, we have the only 12 in the United States that all have the same problem.
But with the Penn, you know, hey, we're having a problem with the handles. And what do they do to address it? They send us a bucket of handle.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, they give us a bucket full of handles. Hey, if your customers have problems, fix it.
The part that didn't get anodized in that one saltwater touch it and lock up, and we're, all of a sudden we get six reels back, and it's like, oh my God, they're all got the same problem. I called them up. They sent a guy drove here, picked them up, took them back. 2 weeks later, I actually got a phone call. First return phone call from a factory in 29 years that said, this was the problem. This is what we're doing. It won't ever happen again. Replace any of the bad reels you get. And what a dream team.
The problems get addressed. They get fixed. I mean,
it's not about making a mistake. It's about what you do after.
Yeah, 10 years running, Quantum never did fix the finish issues on the old Quantums and Bocas.
Well, the Boca didn't have a problem. The Cabo did.
We had a problem. They both did. I've got two Bocas with not a speck of paint left on them.
They still work like heck, though.
Don't get me wrong.
The ugliest, but toughest reels made.
you'd think in 10 years you could have addressed and fixed that issue.
Oh yeah. No.
But Penn, the one thing I think Penn did right, everybody moves their stuff to China. It's just a fact of life. Love it or hate it, it doesn't change it. It's happening, it's happened, it's been there, it's done that.
Actually, Penn's good because they brought more reels back to the U.S.
Different than everybody else was Penn picked up their whole entire factory from Philadelphia and moved it over there.
Well, they still have their Philadelphia factory. Yeah, it's still there. It's still producing reels.
They didn't just farm it out. They took their equipment over there
and
make these reels our way.
And the basis of it is they're doing a good job. They made mistakes, they've had problems, and they've fixed every one of them.
And
hats off.
They could have sat on their laurels with the Battle. It's a great reel. It's a perfect price range. They could have sat back and did nothing and just let it ride until it wore itself out. They didn't. They kept moving forward. They came out with a Conflict. There's no sitting
back.
And
what was cool is they didn't charge $200 for it.
Right. Right.
I was expecting the Conflict to come out. I'm thinking 169, 179.
Sure,
they're looking at that big money that Quantum's getting on the Cabos. They're looking at the, you know, Stratic money, the CI4 money.
Right.
And they actually did a reasonable job. It's $30 or $40 more, and I really don't think it's got $30 or $40 more of good materials in it, but that's a lot of R&D research and development.
I honestly think it does, and I've torn the Conflict apart. I've torn the Battle apart. The Battle should be selling for at least what the Conflict is. The Conflict should probably be $150, $170 reel, and they're not.
I think they're doing it right. I think they're giving people, you know, you've got to charge money for this. It costs a tremendous amount in engineering and research, development, figuring out the materials, all that. That's a lot of money.
And here's a concept. Their engineers, wait for it, fish.
Oh, that's the part that's weird. They actually go fishing.
That's nice.
That's wrong. Penn should just, you know, it's hard to believe they're in business because they go fishing. Call up most of the other companies and, you know, they walk in here and I go to show them something about the reel. They're holding it upside down, reeling it backwards. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be pro.
I've had several customers, you know, they've been on the boat and they look at me and they go, oh, so you're sponsored by Penn or something like that. I was like, no, I'm not here to sell you anything. I'm not here to promote anything. I'm here to tell you that this piece of gear works well for what we do.
Yeah.
And the company's always stood, Frank, you've always stood behind me with it. You know, what the company didn't do for you, you've always done for us, you know, in this community. So if I had an issue with a piece of gear, you know, I can bring it back and or at least notify the company. And now we have this piece of gear here that I'm really happy to use. I'm really happy to use that Conflict.
Yeah, it's been interesting. But it wasn't supposed to be a Penn commercial because I got to tell you, my all-time favorite lures or reel so far is a Fluger.
You like that Fluger, don't you?
I'm telling you, just the nicest reel I've ever used. I call it the... I shouldn't say...
Was this the Presidente that you're using?
Patriarch. Yeah, now, I would not recommend it for a charter reel. It is not tough enough. No. It is not strong enough to be a charter reel. But for my personal use, and this is not from my friends or families. This is my personal reel. That's still my favorite reel.
Outstanding.
I went through and looked at them for a long time. And the one thing about the Patriarch, and I will say this right up front on air, is pick it up and turn the handle. You probably won't find this at our store because I turn the handles on them when I get them out of the box. If it has
you can't resist it.
if it has a slight tick in it, it's bad. And it will get worse and worse and worse. If there's no tick in it, it will just be great. But if you pick one up, say, if you're sitting in Ohio listening to us, and thank you very much for doing that, and you go down to look at a Patriarch, and you turn the handle, and you feel the tiniest tick in it, just set it down and grab another one. You know, don't buy that reel because it will go bad. It will be funky in no time. And you don't have us to back you up. If you're in Ohio, you don't have Fish and Frank warranty. So, but, which we're very happy with, you know, Penn, because they do help me make sure that you guys are all taken care of.
And to be honest with you, most of our reel companies do that for us. I mean, they've all been really good at getting us replacement.
And reviews. I don't even have to threaten most of them too often.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys have that military cool about you. You know, I don't have that coolness about me. It's like I got them by the throat shaking their head against the wall like, you well replaced us.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes, but I don't do that. No, we have to be calm in today's society and act like, I don't know. Like
sheeple.
That's going to happen. Anyway, back to Sheephead. We were talking about Sheephead. Larry started throwing rods underneath the dock. Great fish finder, because when you throw that rod and reel underneath the dock, how many fish jump out of the water will tell you if the fishing's any good there.
Well, the twos and the fours, the twos and the fours all ran out of there.
So, anyway, but you're going to give us an offshore report. You're heading out tomorrow, right, Larry?
Absolutely, yep. First thing.
I'm heading upriver just to...
You're going with my dad this afternoon
just
upriver.
Just to peek around and see if they've started waking up and coming out of this cold front.
So, tomorrow morning, I get together with you here. We'll do a show about what happened upriver tomorrow, this afternoon. And Larry,
we'll try and
keep
the rods dry.
We can't. I got to see all this patch cord here with all the spliced wires and everything. That's to put my phone into here, and it works really good from our end. But on your end, it's like you get this.
You get an echo.
An echo. Yeah. So you hear everything you say two or three times, and I can't figure out how to cure that.
For military guys, it's an MR sat phone, so it's used to it.
Yeah, it's normal. That's why it really didn't bother me.
Okay, guys. Well, any last thoughts today? It's kind of dreary, rainy morning, but I think we're going to get a little nicer towards afternoon.
I hope it does. I really hope that sun peaks out. I think that is going to be the changing thing for the fishing, is getting that sun out.
I'm ready for the sunshine. It's been 2 days since we've had any kind of real sunshine.
I mean, I kind of piddled around on the river yesterday, taking the boat for a test run, and it was fine until it started drizzling, and then it just got miserable.
Well, I'm with the Plan A and Plan B. So I'm going to go with Plan A, and if that's not working, we're going to Plan B.
So you're going to King Mackerel, and King Mackerel doesn't work. You're going for Amberjack, and what was the other one?
Almacos. Yeah, the smaller guy. The smaller AJ.
I can't. I don't know why. Man, this is still my first cup of coffee. I was drinking Coca-Cola this morning, and you know, good product, but I got to tell you, it's just not coffee.
Yeah, it doesn't do a thing for me.
It's just not coffee. I don't know. I'm addicted. Yes, my name is Fish and Frank, and I am an addict. But anyway, anything else before the producers kick us out of here?
No, not that I can think of.
Larry?
Keep your rod and reel dry.
Yeah. Don't loosen that grip.
When you're casting if you're going to make a long-distance cast, tighten your grip.
Maybe that's why we see so many guys with spinning reels on conventional rods.
Okay.
Maybe that little finger grip keeps them from throwing it up. Maybe you should try that. Maybe a little bit more positive purchase on that.
Maybe we can just glue one on for him. Anyway, this is Fish and Frank. That's Captain Kale across from me. And Captain Larry Smith is here, and they're going to be back. Kale's going up river this afternoon, going to give us a report. Captain Larry Smith is heading out in the Gulf, going to do some Amberjack and some King Mackerel. And we're going to see how their Plan A's and Plan B pay out tomorrow sometime. So we'll see you then, guys. Thank you for listening.